the Gentleman's Review.
Hello.
Hello.
Yes. Hello, members of the gentry, and welcome to episode 107 of the Gentleman's Review.
107.
Imagine such a thing.
Wow.
That's like a whole 7 over 100.
That's a...
Yeah. Yeah.
That's more episodes than Star Trek Enterprise ever got to.
Yeah. You know, if you'd have asked me before we started doing this whether we'd get to episode 107, I'd have said, what's the Gentleman's Review?
Yeah. That's 26 more episodes than Larry Hagman got to.
That's very true.
Oh.
He done died today.
Yes, he did done.
That is possibly the most topical thing we've ever talked about.
I know.
Yeah.
Go me.
I went on the old BBC website to have a look at things to talk about today, and that was the first thing that caught it. No, he's only just started making Dallas again.
Yeah.
There he is.
They shouldn't have waited so long, should they?
That's their fault, not his.
Yep, not his.
No. The man who had one liver, I think, did he have two livers eventually, or did he just have one liver in an operation? I can't remember.
Fair.
It depends on what comedy show you're watching, apparently. But yeah,
I'm assuming shares in Dom Perignon have gone through the floor anyway.
Yeah.
They did say that he sort of had one liver and then sneakily carried on until he had some life-threatening thing again. But whether they cramped another one in or not, I don't know.
Do you reckon people are going to start wearing 10-gallon hats again out of a mark of respect?
Maybe.
Oh, they should do.
Yeah.
Black ones.
Yeah.
Black ones with a little sort of tap on the side.
Yeah.
You can fill you. Yeah. With your tumbler up from.
Yeah.
I've got a 3-pint beanie.
All right.
Oh. Yeah.
That's quite capacious for a beanie.
Yeah, it is really.
Yeah.
It's very tall.
Yeah.
Yeah. It looks like a policeman's helmet with a peak.
Has it got a propeller on?
It does.
Yeah. Excellent.
Awesome.
Gets me to work.
What the hell's a beanie?
It's
a hat.
It's,
oh, for fuck's sake, Tom, how old are you?
I only know flat caps and bowlers and top hats.
Deer stalkers, you know them.
Yeah,
I know deer stalker.
Yeah,
right then.
There you go.
Well, why don't you know what beanie
is? Beret. I got no berets, but.
Yeah, you know, sort of like your woveny hats, like up there.
Yeah. Your straw hat.
There you go. So you know loads of hats.
Yeah.
So don't come in with your hat ignorance with us.
Yeah.
It's not going to wash, is
Nuh-uh.
it?
Nuh-uh.
I still don't know.
Nuh-uh.
I don't know what hats are.
Although, I suspect I can live without the knowledge.
So during space when he couldn't find his chocolate beanie.
Yeah.
Yes, funnily enough,
we watched that exact episode last night.
See my chocolate beanie, he said.
Yep.
Yeah. He wasn't talking about his bottom. That's not what he was talking about.
Shame.
Yes.
Semen.
This is very nice.
It is. It's very nice.
I'm driving this time. Sorry.
Yeah. Oh, yes.
So you're just enjoying the funny mic, aren't you?
Only I've got the funny mic.
You're luxuriating that it can sit back and still be heard with the funny mic.
There's something nice about holding a microphone. I don't know what it is. It's I don't know if it's phallic. I don't know what it is, but it's funny comforting.
Is it?
Because you feel as if you're in charge when you're holding the mic and it's not on a stand.
Yeah, I'm starting to regret now the last time I drove, I just left it in the mic stand.
Yeah, you see.
Mm.
I should really have... Next picked time. It up and be deep-throating it like Tom is right now.
Yeah.
I'm going to wash that pop screen.
Quite disturbing.
I am a little
wash
worried.
Wash it. Burn the fucker.
And this one smells of cats. Does it?
Ooh, nice.
Ooh.
Do you have cats around?
No. Not keen on cats.
Yeah, the animals or the musical? Does it smell of sweaty singer-dancers?
Yeah. It does, yeah.
Mr. Mistopheles.
I've had plenty of those around,
yeah.
That'll explain.
Was he magical?
Yeah.
Midnight, I'm singing, I'm singing along.
That's very good. I don't
to
know
a barrel organist in the next street who is pissed as a rat, because I'm a cat. That is true.
I don't know why you don't get more off the musical.
Well, you could be on the West End.
Ward's End, perhaps.
Yeah, well, that's only half the job. I want to see some dancing.
All right.
Maybe we'll see why they don't.
Shite.
Yes.
So, I don't know, in a week of news, which I couldn't glean much entertainment out of, because it's vaguely been depressing.
Yeah,
particularly if you live in Gaza. It was just about redeemed yesterday with the story about the nudie guy on the top of the statue in Whitehall.
Ah, I didn't see about
missed
that.
This. What was this all about?
I saw the picture and I didn't really understand why they thought a completely Starker's man was such a security risk. Did they think he had like a bomb up his arse or something?
God knows.
A very tiny stick of dynamite stuck up his winkle.
Anytime a guy with nay clothes on top of a statue grinds up one part of London for 3 hours.
Yeah.
Yeah.
This has got to be a good
story. They were just all slowing down a rubberneck. That's all it was.
Oh, right. I was wondering, when you said a nude man grinds up London, I thought you meant he was like sort of lap dancing all his way along the street.
Sadly not.
With a bit of statue grind.
I didn't read any follow-up, actually. I don't know whether there's any more insight into why he was doing this. You would hope that he was just pissed, but...
I'd like to think a chap doesn't really need a reason.
No. It might be the same guy who was in Halifax of the week and walking around in the Nip.
He was all right. Was there a bloke in Halifax?
Apparently
he'd walked
from Scotland or somewhere in the nude.
Blimey. Good Lord.
And
it could be a bit chilly up there. Yeah.
And that's why he's walking south.
Apparently just walking through the town saying, hello to everybody. Obviously, severely mentally ill. So do you know what the police did? You know,
lock him up, beat him?
No, they took him into custody, and then they released him. They didn't do anything.
Still nude?
Yeah, still nude.
They didn't even give him a pair of jogging bottoms.
The police don't have the budget to kit out every nudist that comes
along. Probably got shitloads of lost property that no one's claimed.
Yeah. What about them sort of paper suits that they give you? Because they've got to take your clothes away.
Has Matt jobby.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, they didn't even... call a psychiatrist or anybody like that to come and section him. Just let him go walking back to Scotland. Probably dead now.
Was that
I thought he's got
the instruction he gave? We let you go, but you've got to fuck off back.
We don't have naked people in Halifax.
It's a compass, that's no fuck off. Go on.
Even my uniform has 7 layers of clothes under it.
Wow.
The big story I was chuckling at and appalled by this morning.
Yes.
Is in your India, in a Catholic church in India, there was a big crucifix with Christ on it that was
weeping.
Wow.
So the local sort of debunker of these sort of things, a chap called Sunil Edamaroku, turned up to the church and had a good look around. And he's very much in India, he's very much known as the... Richard Dawkins of India. He's a mate of Richard Dawkins.
And he had
a look at the statue and he looked at the environs and discovered that what was actually pouring from Christy's eyesies was raw sewage.
Oh, yummy.
Seeping through a pipe from the wall behind.
Excellent.
Yeah.
So, he told them about this, got death threats... And has now had to move to Finland to get away from prosecution under their blasphemy laws.
Oh,
motherfuckers.
But with any luck, all your pilgrim types will be there touching Christ and kissing it, and they'll all die of cholera, that's okay.
This is the thing, they were collecting the water and drinking it.
Exactly.
He's not only drawn...
They'll get typhoid, it doesn't matter.
These Catholics really are full of shit.
This is definitely a recent story.
Oh, yeah, this was... I'll just tell you when it was filed. It was filed on the 23rd of November, this Friday.
23rd of November.
Do you remember
49th birthday for Doctor Who. Happy birthday, Doctor Who. I read a story, possibly 12 months ago, that was virtually identical. It's probably the same guy who was debunking something else in India.
But yeah.
Although when you said he's like the local debunker, I thought like every town and village must have their own designated.
Their own.
Yeah.
Pretty good. That's what they always have in Star Trek, isn't it? When they go to a village, they go, bring the local whatever he is. There's always a local something that will make the story move along.
Yeah. He's the debunker.
Yeah. Goes around turfing people out of bed.
Bring the local Febreze in.
Yeah.
Yeah. That sort of thing.
Yeah.
That'd be good.
Well, on the way over this morning, we were listening to the radio.
Ooh.
And I know, racy, huh? old mod cons in our kind.
Yeah. Seats. And seats, windows. Yeah.
Brakes.
Yeah.
Yeah, sometimes.
It's amazing.
Yeah. But they were saying how the Nadine Dorries woman, your Tory MP, what went on, I'm a celebrity, get me out of here. Ooh. The Tory party have now decided that her going on there was now a good move, and it has helped her profile, that no one thinks of her as being rich or out of touch anymore. Now, we were discussing this, and we've come up with the thought that by going on a show called I'm a Celebrity,
yes,
you're kind of suggesting that being celebrity, you might be...
Probably are quite well
quite
off.
Rich.
Yeah.
And obviously, having to go and eat kangaroo testicles in the middle of the jungle, you're probably floundering in your career. So are indeed out of touch.
Yes.
So what we've now discovered is that she is indeed quite rich and is out of touch.
Yeah. I think that's pretty much sorted that now.
Yeah.
And a twat.
Yeah.
And a twat, obviously.
Yeah.
Really, her constituents missed a trick by not voting for her for every single challenge.
Yeah, I don't understand why
and voting her off.
I don't understand why that wasn't happening.
Just leave her there.
It happened because there was the other pointless tart that was just really bad at all the challenges.
Why, who's that?
I don't know, Helen or something.
Someone
or she the
Helen
fun,
or
she,
Helena or...
The funny one who they said, don't touch these stars with your hand, and she kept touching them with her hand.
Yeah.
I've got loads of stars! Yeah, you can't have any of them.
Who is she? I want to know who it is. I want to know who I'm laughing at.
She was off of Cora, I think.
Because I quite liked her.
Some soap actress.
She made me laugh.
Yeah. Oh.
But we just sort of started refusing to do them because she was too much of a wuss. And the wonderful British voting public said, if we keep voting her to do these things, all the celebrities are going to starve.
Yeah.
Let's do it.
Hey.
Damn.
I really haven't figured out yet whether the ones that are voted to stay in are the ones that people like or the ones they hate.
Yeah, I'm not sure.
Isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, if you really liked them, you'd vote them off so they could come back and live in Claridge's for a week.
Because I've been watching...
Is that what happens?
I've never watched this programme before, but I've been watching it this week because I am enough of a sad Doctor Who fan that I will watch a programme just because there's a Doctor Who actor in it.
Oh, yeah. So what was he thinking?
I don't know. I think he just wanted to lose a bit of weight. I mean, it's a bit... It is a bit of an extreme measure if you want to shed a few pounds, but you know.
Me and Martin maybe should go on next year.
Yeah, it'd be good.
Yeah.
Why 50% of the way there by being a bit hard up and needing the exposure?
Yeah. But I think, yeah, but I'm sure, because he did say that he was going to use it as a health camp, essentially. And because his daughters liked it, he went and did it. Because I don't think, I mean, he still continues to work. I mean, he's not, he's still a jobbing actor and you know, it's still quite a pleasant life. I don't think this is the case, but in my sort of crazy imaginative head, I'd like to think that he'd gone in there to lose weight so he could come back for the 50th anniversary of Doctor Who.
Ooh.
That's a very old...
Let's hope.
A very old version of his...
Yeah. So. I said that he'd been looking generally cheerful right up until yesterday's show. And he was suddenly looking a bit glum in yesterday, so he might just weeks might be enough for him. But he's a lovely guy, so yeah. I mean, all the best to him.
From what I remember,
I don't know if you said, he's the only one who's had uniformly positive comments from people I've been looking at on Twitter, because everyone just thinks he's lovely.
Aww.
Although the best Twitter exchange was actually concerned Nadine Dorries. The one person that was disappointed she'd been voted off first. I'd say she's really annoying, but she's a bit milfy.
Whoa.
Which was followed up by a tweet from Nadine Dorries' daughter. Ew, that's my mum. It was a daughter or son.
Yeah.
Either works for the humour.
That is often the way with these people. Yeah. But yeah, I watched it last Friday. I think as a break from Children in Need, which I watch only to tweet about.
Yeah,
that's what it's there for.
Actually, the other really good line concerning it came from Dave Hay, who has been a bit of a cock off and on. But actually seems to have a bit of a sense of humour on him. And he was sort of saying, you know, she's a politician and all the rest of it, but the next time I hear her speaking about something, I might give more attention to what she's saying, given that she's eating like an ostrich's anus. Nice.
Yeah.
I wonder how many people in the Lords, the Commons, sorry, can actually brag that.
Yeah, very few. I think it definitely gives her a degree of gravitas that the others lack.
Gravitas.
Yeah. Ah!
I'm just scrolling through my phone now because there was a little story about Brian Connor leaving.
But yeah. Reading yesterday, because initially they sort of mysteriously just disappeared and they said, ah, he's a bit ill, not in it. And didn't say much else. And then there was all these stories in the tabloids saying how his missus was really irate with ITV for not looking after him and all the rest of it. And then yesterday...
Brian Connolly. Yeah. Right.
And then yesterday it turned out that he'd just not been taking his antidepressant medication that he'd gone in there with. Even after being given the instruction by ITV that you really should carry on taking any medication you're already on.
Yes.
Now, given that he'd stopped, gone a bit mental, and then have to be taken out for health. It was really confusing that as part of this report, there was a quote from him saying, but if nothing else now, I've figured out that I don't need this medication. Surely everything about that story points to the fact that you still do.
You certainly do need that medication.
Andy's just sent me his phone.
Yeah. By courier.
Yeah.
There you go.
Handed me his phone.
Yeah. Send it to you and just hand it over.
Sign here and here.
Yeah, and this was the line that I laughed at. It was Brian, known for his love of tidiness and bursting into tears after having a go at boxer David Hale for throwing a log, was last seen during Sunday night's Bush Tucker trial. Joking with the other contestants. But yeah, it did come across because I just opened that up and that was practically the first line of the piece. That was just summing his career up for people in case they didn't know what was going on. But
very odd.
It amused me. No end.
But I'm feeling a bit ashamed now. Usually the series of Downton Abbey is my ITV fix for the year. And the fact that I'm carried on watching ITV, I just feel awful.
Do you feel dirty?
Filthy. Yeah. Wrong.
Yeah. I'm avoiding it at the moment. I'm avoiding all independent television because that's very 70s of me, isn't it? Because of the amount of Christmas adverts that are now on. And it's something I don't like Christmas adverts because they stress me out.
I was reading in private, about the John Lewis one.
Which one?
The one with the snowman that I said last night. Isn't it cute?
That was John Lewis, was it?
Yeah.
Right.
I'd not seen this because I don't watch much.
It's very cute.
Commercial television myself.
Snowman who goes over the mountains and into town and goes to John Lewis and then brings a present back for his girlfriend Snowman.
And is this the one that's all really spectacular and gone to New Zealand to film and all this? Yeah, because there's a big sort of competition to see who can get the most spectacular Christmas ad. And apparently they come out with this one and then Waitrose had just said,
we're going to
a really low budget one and going to save £1 million and give it to charity.
Yep.
In other words, sticking two fingers up to them.
Yeah, they say that.
That is rather clever.
But they do seem to have hired an aircraft hangar and put Delia Smith and Heston Blumenthal in said hangar with, a table full of fancy food and a screen behind them and stuff.
But they'll work for peanuts, those two, anyway. Yeah.
No, I think it's a soundstage, won't it?
Yeah.
No, I didn't see that one last year where people were whinging about it because I don't want mawkish adverts.
No.
I want them to say, buy this cheap. Buy all your family's presents for £5. That's what I want to see.
What I don't want to see is Christmas adverts in fucking November.
No.
I know this makes me sound old and grumpy, but fuck's sake, just wait until December.
To be quite honest.
Wait till Advent, whatever the fuck that is.
I used to love Christmas. Now it pisses me off.
Four Sundays before Christmas.
And I saw the trailer. God. I saw the trailer for the Christmas Doctor Who on
Children in Need. See, that's why you shouldn't watch Children in Need.
Yeah.
Ever.
And they do a really good trailer for Christmas Doctor Who's. They always do.
Yeah.
They're a really good trailer. And
then it's disappointing.
And I'm always disappointed.
Often shit.
I think I probably build it up too much in my own head. I think that's a problem.
Yeah.
I watch them again later on and find them all right. But I think on Christmas Day when you're expecting... I didn't like the one last year, I have to confess. And not the one the
year
before
either.
Which
was last year.
But we've talked about this before.
I don't think we did, you know.
Was it the Catherine Jenkins?
Because I was a bit disappointed with last year.
That was bad, actually.
And I remember I thought, I'm going to have to, for the first time ever, I'm going to have to say I really didn't like this Doctor Who. And I think we all just subconsciously refused to talk about it.
Glossed over
it. It could be. Yeah. It could very well
blocked
be.
Blocked it from our minds.
Yeah. I've seen last year's again, and I didn't mind it, but that was the first one that I've been really disappointed with. Other than the Titanic shit one.
Yeah, yeah. I think the problem I had with the one before, which is the one with Michael Gambon, and I love Michael Gambon. I just think...
We know you love Michael Gambon.
I think Michael Gambon is brilliant. And I just thought they should have used... I don't know, they just... They didn't... There wasn't enough of performance in there. And I didn't like that woman who was in the vault, wherever she was.
Catherine Jenkins.
I don't know who she was, but she was very annoying. And then she starts singing at the end, and that made me feel sick.
Yeah, she does that.
Yeah. Now, that was my favourite since Christmas Invasion.
Yeah.
Mm. I really liked it.
I would have preferred... Oh. I'll tell you what, who they should have had in the vault instead of that woman.
Who?
June Whitfield.
That'd have been awesome.
That'd have been great.
Although, would it not have spoilt the thing that she was being frozen young?
Yeah. Well, perhaps it just leaked.
They could have CGI'd her face from old episodes of Terry and June onto her body.
Maybe so.
In the punk wig.
Yeah.
Oh my god. But she would have been in Who Christmas special 2 years running.
Yeah, that's
which would have really freaked out everyone in trying to link with it. The same character she's playing. How does that work?
That's it. I mean, of course, the old days it would have been Irene Handel or somebody like that. Yeah. But yeah. She's gone now. But yeah. I want an old woman in the TARDIS. Not personally, I don't want to have an old woman with sex.
Yeah.
But I want to see the Doctor with an old woman like they did in the Audio Adventures. I think that would be good.
That'd be quite cool.
Who is a good old woman these days?
I don't know, because
they're all the really good ones are dying.
Well, you know, that's what happens when they get old, isn't it? They get near to death.
Yeah,
she's retired as Liz Smith, but yeah, she's still going.
Oh, no, she
I thought she might. I had suspicions she had actually died.
No, she was made a programme last year.
Oh, well, there we go then.
Yeah.
I tell you died.
Mm-hmm.
That you'll know about, I'm sure. Mm-hmm. But I only found out about yesterday, and it was really poignant. Because I got into watching celebrity antique road trip thing.
Oh, right, okay.
Dear God.
Well, it's like bargain hunt only with celebrities.
Yeah, but shitter. I was unfortunate enough to catch part of Myling Class and John Barrowman's one. It's fucking awful.
Oh, it's funny.
It's not funny.
So come on then. Who is it? What's dead?
There was the two people, and one of them was David Barbie, and he was in it and picking out antiques and shit. And then when it got to the auction bit, it said, he's a bit ill and he's not in this.
Yeah, he
and
died.
Then at the end, he said, and of course, he died after filming this bit, and this was his last show. But I'd not heard, this was back in June.
Oh,
because that was a big part of my 20s, being on the dole and watching Bargain Hunt with you two.
He wasn't particularly old, was he?
No.
60s, yeah, mid to late 60s.
Yeah, well, it's not particularly old these days.
No.
Yeah. So I'm going to sound bad here, but who's died? Sorry,
David Barbie.
David Barbie, oh, is he?
Yeah,
with his Burberry scarves.
No, that was Philip Sell.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. Oh no, Barbie was the camp one.
Yeah.
No, the reason I was distracted then, I do apologise, is because I was looking at Liz Smith on the internet.
Yes.
And for some reason, they put a picture of somebody completely different in their bio.
Oh, yeah, that's weird, isn't it?
That's not her.
So we still, regardless of who's dead, still haven't really narrowed down a good old lady.
Obviously, now that Judi Dench is not M.
Yeah, she could do it.
We could shove her in
she's
there.
She's all right, yeah. Yep.
She might.
I don't even recognise who that
is. She's not really, for my money, wizened enough.
No. Doc Cotton. June Brown.
She'd be
quite good.
Oh, maybe. Yeah, she's a good old lady.
But she's going sort of part-time now, isn't she? She's approaching retirement. Yeah. She's been in it before, hasn't she? She's been in Who before.
And they do like bringing people back.
That's it, yeah.
1974, possibly.
Geek.
I just named a year.
She was...
I was only a geek if I was right.
Speaking in RP... back then.
Ew.
Yes.
Well, that's how she speaks normally, isn't it?
Yes. Well, I think she's tamed it down, because I was watching a documentary about it. I think it was in the Old People Strand that the BBC did.
Yes.
And she was off to looking to an old people's home and go, ha ha ha, I'm richer than you.
Yeah.
Or something of the sort.
Yeah.
Yeah. I thought possibly Pamela Salem. She's a bit old these days.
Who is she? Remind me. I can't think what she done.
She'd been in Who, back with McCoy in the Dalek one.
Something more better specifically.
Known? I don't know. She's one of those where she's just done loads. I couldn't give you anything definite that she's been a major part in. Look her up. You got your bloody phone with you.
Yes, I'm so looking now.
Who'd you say? Pamela Salem?
Yeah.
Yes.
Here we go. Brief silence as everyone gets their phones out and gets IMDb up.
Born in Bombay.
Oh, well.
There you go.
Well.
I'm just looking for
that. Other television appearances have included Out of the Unknown, Blake 7, The Anedian Line, The Professionals, Howard's Way, Every Decrease in Circles, Tripods, All Creatures Great and Small, and more recently, in America, Magnum P.I.
Wow!
Recently?
Wow. Party of Five, ER, and The West Wing is the most recent.
The only picture.
Where she played the British Prime Minister.
Is that the right one?
She was in The West Wing?
Yeah, she played the British Prime Minister, apparently, in an episode.
Oh,
yeah.
Don't know.
I can't, well, like, from this distance, I can't see that stamp-sized image that's on your screen.
Lean in a bit, then.
If that's current, she ain't old enough.
And she played Miss Moneypenny in Never Say Never Again.
Wow.
Nothing like her.
There you go. Oh, maybe it's a different
Never Say Never Again. Never Say Never Again. That was a great theme, wasn't it? 7 hours of that.
Yeah.
So they played to people in Guantanamo.
Never Say Never Again. No. It's the only James Bond film I've ever fallen asleep during.
Yeah, it's
the underwater scene at the end of that film is so dull and tedious. Well,
yeah. I mean, Sean Connery has been known for having some of the best wigs in show business. The one in The Rock, I think, is probably the best wig he's ever worn.
And he's very good.
Yeah, it's better than the one he had in The Hunt for Red October, which is still good.
It's better than the one he wore in Medicine Man.
Yeah, oh God. But this, the one that he wore in Never Say Never Again looked like it had been stapled to his head.
Yeah. But was purportedly the most expensive wig ever at that point.
It's crazy, isn't it?
Oh, cool.
Supposedly $1 million rug that he had perched on his nut.
Now, the wig wasn't the only problem with that film.
No.
Not by a long way.
Down at the bottom of a very, very long list of problems.
Yeah. It looked like it'd been made for £2.50, but which didn't help. But, yes. Never Say Never Again, my God.
Is Stephanie Cole still alive? She's my favourite old lady ever.
She'd be good. I think she may be.
The
actually.
Best thing about Never Say Never Again, and I might have mentioned this before, but
is the fact that Cole in it?
I honestly can't remember. Yeah. But I know the screenplay was done by
Stephanie Cole?
No.
Oh.
It was done by the guys that wrote Porridge.
Oh, yeah.
I think.
Yeah.
Whoever they were.
All right. Was it not Clement and Lafrenet?
Yeah.
Porridge.
Yeah, and they used the gag that they'd used in Porridge.
Really?
Ah. Yeah, well, he basically is asking him, like, fill this specimen thing, and he says, what from here? And,
hey!
And Norman Stanley Fletcher had used that 20 years previously.
Oh, that's good.
15 years previously, so.
Yeah, Stephanie Cole's still going. She's only 71. Which in the world of being old these days isn't too
well
bad.
I think she's a far better old lady than that person no one's ever heard of that you suggested, Tom.
Yes. Yeah, I'll go for her. Although there was a shoe.
So that is the official gentleman's review vote of what old lady should go in the top.
Yay!
Stephanie Cole.
Yeah, there was an article on BBC just shortly after Clive Dunnett carked it.
Basically
on people that have regularly done parts older than themselves.
I think I read that very one.
And yet I was stunned that Stephanie Cole was something like 20-odd years younger than Graham Crowden when they were in Waiting for God Together.
Yeah, he was the age they were supposed to be, but she was only in her 40s or something.
Yeah.
Bloody hell.
Mm.
I loved that show. It was awesome.
Yeah.
That was good, wasn't it?
But I don't know. Does that mean she's a really good actress or just that she's always looked fucking old?
I don't know.
Yeah.
But she's my vote.
But yeah, because it also mentioned how young she was when she was in... Was it Last of the Summer Wine that she was... Well, that as well.
Yeah.
That she was an occasional old woman in. And was...
No. It was Up in All Hours.
Oh, that's the one. I was.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, she.
Where she was basically still in nappies.
Yeah.
I don't think she was particularly supposed to be an old woman.
Oh, no, she was. Yeah.
But I thought she was supposed to be sort of a rather dowdy middle-aged woman. I wouldn't have ever said she was old.
Late middle-aged. But she was still
nowhere near as old as her character.
But, you know.
Speaking of television, has anybody been watching Last Tango in Halifax?
No. What is
Anne Reed and Derek
Jacobi?
She's
another good old lady.
Yeah.
Maybe she could be our second vote.
Yeah, she's been in Who as well. Yeah.
A couple of times.
Yeah.
Mm. Old and new.
But yeah, Derek Jacobi doing the slightly dodgiest Yorkshire.
Oh, dear.
That man can from Croydon can do. Nicola Walker's in there. People will know from Spooks as Ruth.
Oh.
She plays daughter of Derek Jacobi. So doing her best Yorkshire accent as well.
Mm. Apparently all of his filming Skipton.
Yes, Skipton, Harrogate, and some of the hills around here. But yeah, but
I think this was on Tuesday, and I couldn't watch it because I was doing Morris dancing. I thought I'll watch it on iPlayer.
Yeah, I took a day off on Friday and I just sat and watched it, and it was a bit depressing. It was wasn't quite Last of the Summer Wine standard of tweeness. Sarah Lancashire's in it as well.
On this, Derek Jacobi.
Yeah.
And I'm sure I've not imagined this. Were we discussing this potential car crash sitcom?
Yes.
That has been mooted.
Yes, ITV have commissioned.
Him and Ian McKellen.
Yeah. It's been written, Ian McKellen and, and Derek Jacobi living in a flat, and the young man moves in upstairs. It's men behaving badly, isn't it?
Jesus. And is it just gay men behaving?
Yeah,
pretty much.
Old gay men behaving badly.
And it's been written by some American guys who wrote Will and Grace.
All right.
So we'll see.
Well,
it is, after all, an ITV sitcom.
Yeah.
So we shall see.
I dreamt the best program ever the other night. I don't know what prompted it, but the chap from that Fred West thing.
He's got whose name I
used Dominic to get. West.
Dominic West, yeah. This is Dominic West. It's an American show.
Yeah.
There's Dominic West playing a sort of futuristic sci-fi Wild West-y sheriff come marshal come lawman. Mm-hmm. But in a scenario where for some reason he has connection to the spirit world.
What?
And every week...
What is this?
Every week, in whatever scenario he's there's obviously some bad guys that he's meant to be fighting.
Hang on, recap. Is this something you've
seen? This is something I dreamt.
You've imagined.
This is something I dreamt.
Right.
Yeah.
Yes.
In every episode, he's sort of taken over by the spirit of a famous dead American.
Right.
That is actually quite good.
And I can't remember who the first one was. The second one was Theodore Roosevelt. And this was based on the premise that Dominic West is really good at impersonation. And he managed somehow to... Because in my head, when I was dreaming this, it was like a sort of making-of documentary.
I want to see the one where he gets invaded by Mae West.
And he was sort of saying how he'd managed to persuade this producer to let him do this.
Yeah.
And this was like really big program. And at the end of every episode, it was almost like a quantum leap run into next week's, where you got to see who the next... So he was all there sort of getting made up to look like these different people.
Yeah. Actually, that's quite a good idea.
What have I been eating to dream this?
Why?
But at the same time,
what made
this is brilliant.
I don't know. That's brilliant.
You've got to pitch that to someone.
That is good, yeah.
Write it up properly and pitch it.
It could be called West by West West.
Yeah.
And the first series, he would just be taken over by people called West.
West. Mae West, for example.
Yeah. Might have to use Mae West a few times.
Yeah.
Yeah. There must be some other
West. Or shoot Timothy West just before it goes on it.
Well, yeah, that'd give it a bit of an edge, because then the mission would be to find out who'd killed him and avenge him.
That's quite good, actually. That's as good as a lot of the stuff I see on American television shows I see coming over here. Yeah, so go for it. Write it down, send it over.
Sweet.
Fox will bite.
Fine.
On NBC.
Yeah, buy anything.
Then they cancel it after about six episodes.
Yeah.
I think that's quite a good tie-in to today's question, though.
It is.
Ooh.
I don't ask the question today.
Remind us of the question, Martin.
The question was, I asked people what would be their favourite movie, I use the American term, movie crossover.
Movie.
I cited the example Alien versus Annie. So I think that would be funny.
The first one I've got here is from Not Nothing.
Ah, right.
And they've suggested Human Centipede 2 versus Toy Story 2.
Ooh,
that'd be good. So, I mean, I the last Toy Story I watched was Toy Story 1, and that was all right. And I didn't bother watching any of the rest because the first one was only all right.
Yeah.
The first one was awesome.
Yeah.
The second one was even better.
I've never seen the second one.
No.
No, or the third one, for that matter.
Well,
no.
I haven't seen the third one.
Oh, actually, I saw a bit of the second one, and it had Kelsey Grammer.
Yes. And he's awesome.
I like Kelsey Grammer.
Ooh.
Not in that.
Yeah. Well, the next one's from Lord Tooth.
Hello, Lord Tooth.
They want to see Citizen Kane versus the Seventh Seal. Hopefully they'll destroy yeah. each other, and I'll never have to watch them again.
Oh, but he's got another suggestion.
Also, Debbie Does Dallas versus Driving Miss Daisy.
Oh,
that
yeah.
could be. Yeah.
That'd be good, bitch.
Yeah. Go on, then. Might as well carry on round in
a circle.
Oh, we're
going in the other way around. It's, I thought we were going that way.
Never gets it, does it?
Yeah, we thought we were going that way.
I thought you started. Oh, well.
No, Lisa did.
All right, okay.
He just
How bad
listen.
Is your memory?
Okay, so I've got Lord Tooth here. He says, Debbie Does Dallas...
No, just no, done that one.
Just right, okay, done that right. one.
I was fiddling yeah. with my phone, all right? So we've got Colonel Hitch. He said, I'd like to see a new installment of the Speed franchise crossed with the On the Buses films. Bombs on the Buses.
That would be that, quite good, that actually.
Yeah, Blake, he'd have to be the bomber, wouldn't he?
Yeah.
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 We're not setting a precedent of reading all the ones from a certain person, are we? Because the next one's from Kretmeister.
Only if they're immediately
in
a row.
Who seems to have done a shitload.
Yeah.
But his first one, he wants Star Trek The Wrath of Khan versus Star Trek First Contact. Not funny, but it would be fucking amazing.
Yeah.
I concur.
Yeah.
Yes.
Well, do the next one of his.
Oh, his next one is The Matrix versus Watership Down. Hazel is Neo and Fiverr the Oracle, starring John Hurt.
I'm not sure Fiverr would be Oracle.
Mm. You know? Fight.
I haven't seen it for about 20 years.
Do you think there's a character you're eating?
Yeah.
We've got one from Greg Jenner.
Hey!
Whoa.
My says, book.
Who says, Cannibal Holocaust and Bambi.
Hey!
Mm.
That would be good. Mm. Yeah. Greg Jenner is the historical consultant on the Horrible History series.
Wow.
Yeah. Nice.
Excellent. And he's got a book coming out soon, so buy it!
Yes. The Gentleman's Book Reviews.
Oh, we should do that.
Stuart Carr.
Hey, Stuart.
He wants
like
to see Kramer versus Kramer and Godzilla.
Hey.
Just when you thought your custody battle couldn't get any worse.
That'd be fucking brilliant.
Really, that should have been Kramer versus Kramer versus Godzilla. You missed a trick there, Stuart Card.
Oh.
I don't know. I quite like one of the Kramers being teamed up with Godzilla.
Do you think?
Yeah.
Does that mean the other one gets Godzuki?
Godzuki.
Godzilla.
Yeah.
Yeah.
On then.
Kretmeister.
Meister.
Blade Runner versus AI. Harrison Ford kills annoying androids. Starring John Hurt.
That would be great, actually, because AI was fucking awful.
Shall I carry on?
It was
yeah.
That bad?
It was dire.
Kretmeister! Requiem for a Dream versus Pi. Double Aronofsky crossover. Never reviewed due to mass suicide of all of the audience. I don't know what any of those things are, but it sounds terrible.
Next one.
Cube versus Sphere, starring John Hurt. Good old Kretmeister. And last but not least, and certainly not last... Naked Lunch versus The Lion King. Simba is also his father and aspects of Scar. He kills his dad and blames the Scar part. There's a bit of bombing in there.
You might as
well
skip up too, because he actually carries this one on for three tweets.
Oh my god. So the Scar part of himself. The hyenas are the typewriters constantly taunting him. He realises that it is all a fantasy that's actually happening, partly in real life and partly in a third fantasy realm, starring Christopher Walken.
Blimey.
Wow.
Can we just have a show of hands as to who think Kretmeister has too much time on his?
That's yep.
Everyone.
All of us.
But thank you.
And put your hands up at home or on the bus or wherever you're
going. We want a full vote.
And I only your left hand.
Yes.
And make sure your hand is straight.
Oh, our friend Misha Anker says, I can't think of any, so insert a witty answer here. I can't think of any either, Misha. So
we've got another
Yogi versus the Flintstones.
Another one from Stuart Card.
Hey,
we've got Snow White and the Seven. Spacey wiping out the cast for being shy, chirpy, etc., and then himself for being jealous of Doc's beard.
That'd be great.
That'd be awesome.
Snow White's head in the box at the end.
That, yes.
That is a quality answer.
That is a quality, quality answer.
Next one is from KGX33. That's our friend Kerry.
Hello, Kerry.
Surely Annie versus Ginger Snaps would be better.
Ah.
I had to look that film up. I have no idea what she's on about.
Ginger Snaps is a werewolfy type.
I know now.
Film.
He knows now.
God.
He's done looked it up.
Fine.
Yeah. There we go. Stephen Henry. Hello, Mr. Stephen Henry. He says, with Nell versus Train Spotting. Tagline, we've gone on holiday to Edinburgh by mistake. Sorry, officer. I've had a few smacks.
The real Ronan Quinn.
Hello.
Debbie does Bambi. No need to describe the plot. You probably have a vision of most of the scenes already.
I feel a bit poorly.
Drip, drip, drop, little anal shower.
We've got one from H2O Sarah.
Hello, Wetty.
Hello.
What ho?
That suggests Pirates of the Edward Scissorhands. She wants to see Depp versus Depp. Don't we all?
Sarah,
don't we all?
That's followed up by Colonel Hitch saying, no, Fear and Loathing in the Caribbean.
That was a big great.
And Sarah goes back to Colonel Hitch with Fear and Blow in the Caribbean's Scissorhands.
And he swiftly riposts with Ed Wood Scissorhands.
And last but very much least, Lee McIlvain.
Hello.
Hello.
Men in Cinderella.
Well.
That'd be another porn film.
Yeah, I like the number of ones that just descend into porn there.
Yeah.
Just imagine, though, how wonderfully expensive Pirates of the Caribbean film directed by Terry Gilliam would be.
Yeah. They would still be making it.
And I don't think it'd ever get finished, would it, really?
£10 billion.
Yeah, California wouldn't be the economy that it is at the moment.
The biggest ship they've ever seen floating in the
air. Yeah.
Entire US economy destroyed through one film.
Oh, bless him. So that's the lot.
Come up with any thoughts?
Annoyingly, I thought of one and I've already forgotten it.
Oh.
So that was shit, wasn't it?
Well,
sorry.
I wasn't sure how much the something versus something was meant to go into that, but I did want to see a version of the original David Niven Casino Royale against the later Daniel Craig version.
Ah,
oh, that would be great.
Just basically having a bit of a scrap between the two.
Or David Niven would win, because he'd have all the Indians on his side, all the red Indians.
And the cowboys.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And the drugs.
Yeah.
See, I was thinking along the lines of Bond, but versus something like My Fair Lady. I want to see a Bond musical.
Ah, that'd be good.
That's what I want to see with the, do you expect me to talk? No, Mr. Bond, I expect you to die. That'd be awesome.
I thought you were going to say, no, I expect you to sing.
Oh, yeah. Maybe it should be, do you expect me to sing?
I think a good one would be,
for the next 3.5 minutes.
Yes.
I think a good one would be Keith Lemon the movie versus Saw. I've never seen any of the Saw films, but apparently they're really horrible. So
it'd suit him well.
That's it, yeah.
Yeah. Couldn't happen to a nicer chap, unless it was Ricky Gervais.
Yeah, versus Godzilla Killer.
I always think your hatred of Ricky Gervais is slightly unreasonable.
Do you? Why is that?
I was wondering whether he'd done something recently to
I think it's perfectly reasonable.
Hey.
Why do you think he seems to be one of those people that folk don't like for no good reason, as far as I can tell.
He's a cock.
Maybe, but he's still done some good stuff.
Yeah.
But that, yeah, a lot of people have done some good stuff, but that doesn't mean that the terrible stuff they've done afterwards is ignored. And them being personally objectionable.
I have no real opinion of him as a person at all.
Yes.
I think most of the people that don't like him, it's just through jealousy, because he's done very well. So. Because most of the stuff you hear is from people who are in comedy, to some extent. It's just sour grapes.
Yeah, no, I don't like it. There you go.
Me and Martin know best.
Yeah.
What would you know?
There are people far more worthy of dislike than Ricky Gervais.
Oh, like, I dislike them too. I mean,
yeah, exactly. we're not just limiting it to Ricky Gervais.
Exclusive.
We're just headlining the list with him. That's all.
We feel we've got an open relationship in that regard. We feel free to hate other people. You know?
Yeah, exactly.
That's very modern of
you.
Yeah. Ooh la la.
Yeah.
Almost like Mormons.
Yeah. It's the exact opposite of polyamorous, really.
Yes. Mm. Yes.
Yeah.
Hmm.
Polyacrimonious.
Yeah.
Well, it has to be said, it's that time in the podcast.
Yes.
Not just because I'm currently out of coffee, but yes, there's a very intriguing looking pack of biscuits.
Ooh.
Yes.
Yeah, let's
sitting on the bespoke biscuit tray.
Let's wash the taste of bitterness out of our mouth.
Biscuits and tea, yay!
Biscuits and tea. We need to have a momentary gap in proceedings while we make some, okay?
Okay. Yes.
Five.
Are we back?
I don't want any of that. Oh, hello.
Hello. That's how it's going. Not only are we all awake again, my coffee's miraculously filled itself up.
Why am I sticky?
Don't ask.
I've got a cup of tea. Yay.
Hey, that's good. I've got a cup of tea as well. Where's them bickies?
The bickies am here.
Yay. Woo!
What do we got, Tom? What do we got?
Have we got a biscuit review?
I think we do.
Why are they, Tom?
Well, we need to sing the song before we can find out.
Yeah.
You're bloody right, Martin.
Yes.
Let's have a
biscuit review. It's the biscuit review. Biscuit review. It's the biscuit review. Biscuit review. It's the biscuit review.
Well, I haven't got biscuit yet. The song's finished.
No.
Here we go.
Yay.
We are on Time Out.
Wow, that's like a magazine.
Time Out, everyone.
Ooh. Wow. Quite possibly the poshest thing we've ever eaten.
Yeah.
Everyone needs some time out.
Wow, that's what it says. Right, I'm off then.
Right. See ya.
Contains milk, wheat, soya, may contain nuts.
That's not actually funny in the context of biscuits. No.
And it has something in that foreign. Now.
Oh, really?
Let's have a look. What have we got here?
Mm. Quite possibly the best chocolate biscuit combo ever advertised by Derek Griffith.
It's a chocolate stick.
Nom, nom.
Let's have a
I particularly like the ripply layer in the middle.
Yeah. Mm. Ripples are always good.
Mm-hmm. It's chocolate and wafer and chocolate and wafer and chocolate.
It's like a Kit Kat, but with Cadbury's chocolate.
Mm.
And an extra bit in the middle. Not like one.
Anything that tastes of Cadbury's is good.
Mm-hmm.
It's rather nice, isn't it? It's quite light.
Yeah.
Light,
very
but nice
light
and tasty.
Jill's got his head on my cock.
Dilly, don't prostitute yourself out just for a bit of time out.
I know people try and get in that magazine. Do all sorts. Sorry, young, it's all gone in my belly. Immediately as he sees that, he moves on to the next person.
Yep. I'm not having any. It's got chocolate on it. It's not good for you.
Ooh, another one. Hey. Oh,
there we go.
It's nice giving me your Polly Paul.
Polly Paul? I think I knew him. So yeah, these are very nice. They're chocolatey. They're biscuity. Well, not biscuity. They're wafery.
Mm-hmm. If only you were here, Gentry, you could see what an absolute lash up Tom was making, throwing them around the room as well.
Yeah.
Throwing like a girl.
I was throwing them left-handed.
Well, that's an excuse.
Oh, Pupkin, that one's not for you.
Like a broken person.
Yeah. Nom.
You know why people are left-handed, don't you?
No.
It's when they're coming out of a lady, they're born, their brain gets squished. By the contracting fanny.
Now, the story I've heard, which I more liked, being a left-hander myself, is that left-handed people were the...
spawn of the devil?
Were the surviving result of a set of twins where, like, one of them had been absorbed by the other one in the womb.
Wow.
Yeah. So I'd like to think that I'd got this way by fucking up and eating my twin before I was even born.
You probably would do as well.
Yeah.
But only if they, like, fried them or something. Nom, nom,
nom. And they do say that for some reason that left-handed people are more creative.
Yep. That is why I'm so much funnier than you sad fucks.
By creative, I mean they're better liars.
Yeah.
Well, Andy just lied. Massively.
Good enough for me.
Yeah.
That was delicious. Thank you, Tom.
You're welcome.
You're welcome.
Oh, sorry, did you get them? Well, Tom handed them to me. Yeah. He who handed them, banded them.
Yes.
Yeah.
Wise words.
Yes. Sorry. Thank you, darlings. They're delicious.
So while we were having a snooze, I walked upstairs for a wee. Mm-hmm. And I noticed your toilet's haunted, Martin. Because
yes.
When you give the flush a good old pull round, and the cistern lid jumps up.
Wow.
Because you've disturbed the ghost.
Yeah, that's it. It's definitely haunted and not that I'm shit at DIY.
Yes, it's definitely that.
Definitely that.
But yeah, Marty's haunted toilet.
Wow.
So, you know, in years to come, when people are doing the Gentleman's Review Nostalgia Tour, one of the stops will be here.
Martin's haunted toilet.
Yeah.
Yeah.
In fact, I'm preparing it for the theme park where there will be a giant toilet that people bounce around on.
Wow, that'd be awesome.
And occasionally the cistern lid leaps up. And frightens people. A little ghost pops out.
Yeah. That could be a little dill's head pops out.
Yes. Not for you, pupkin.
Ah.
Oh.
Dilly's trying to tidy up. He's just taken one of my empty packets.
Well, this it reminded me of the discussion we were having whilst we were all asleep. Straight onto toilets and flushes. It reminded me of one of the lamest things I've ever read on the BBC's website.
What's that?
Which was citing... the top 7 Australian inventions.
Right.
Wow.
Now, your posh modern toilets with your push-button, low-water-consuming flushers.
Oh, yeah.
Would make sense to be an Australian invention. Because anything that saves water, you know, is obviously a good thing down there. But, you know those old things that you used to see in the 70s and the 80s in people's yards that were like a pole with things coming out the top that you hung washing on that sort of rotated round?
A
rotary dryer.
A rotary dryer, in fact, that's what they're called.
Still going.
This is also an Australian invention. Ooh. And it was 3rd on the list. And I thought, how shit are the rest going to be if that's the one that's third?
That's quite iconic.
But why would Australia develop it? It's not like they're short of fucking space.
Someone's got to invent it.
Yeah.
Yeah, but necessity is the mother of invention. They don't need to save space.
Yeah, but they're also a very lazy people. So they don't like having to walk the length of being just crims. Yeah, they don't like having to walk the length of a clothesline. Yeah. They like being able to spin it around and have their clothes come to them.
That definitely is.
Yeah. Yeah. I apologise to our Australian listeners.
Yeah.
Hello, Adam Coachy.
Listener.
Yeah. Yeah. Sorry about that.
You lazy cunt, Adam.
Yeah,
of course. The one thing we need to plan.
What's that?
You know what our next podcast is, don't you?
No,
it's our Christmas special.
Uh oh,
is it?
Yeah, mm-hmm.
Right. We might need to have a talk about the date for that then, because we're not here 2 weeks from now.
That's all right. I'm here,
but if we're all free,
then it's always a party when Tom's here.
We can move it to a different weekend.
You managed to say that. Sounding slightly more convincing. Not looking directly at me.
So our next podcast will be on the 15th, and we are Christmas special.
Yeah.
Woo!
Everyone loves the Christmas special.
Yes,
everybody
they do.
Does that.
Yeah.
And
our next podcast, apart from next week's mini one, obviously.
Yes.
Obviously.
Of course. Now, something about that.
What, the mini one?
Not wanting to decide things behind people's backs. That wasn't the idea, but me and Andy were having a chat.
Behind everyone else's back.
And we decided. We haven't quite decided. But because we've got a lot of stuff coming up in December and January that we need to get done, that we might go monthly as a podcast.
Ooh. Mm.
So one,
or four weekly, anyway.
Four weekly. Yeah. So you'd have one main podcast a month and one mini podcast a month.
Yes.
So that we'd be still technically fortnightly, but
yeah,
we'd only record one big one a month.
Mm.
Works for me.
Yeah.
There we go.
So you heard it here first, kids.
So there
first,
you go.
Kids.
There you go.
As did I.
That's it, yeah. Because I meant to talk about it earlier, but when you were coming down, but then I forgot what I was going to talk about. And then when we started recording again, it just seemed the best time to sort of say it. But, and it means everybody who's got things to do before Christmas and in the new year can get them done.
Yeah.
Me and Andy have got some more Dab and Taste stuff to do, and then the Edinburgh show, and oh, videos. My God, there's just so much stuff lining up.
Yep.
Wow, like I was ever going to have a problem with having to do less work.
But also,
Tom, you're as lazy as an Australian.
Are you sure you're not part Australian?
Hey, Adam.
I do have an uncannily good Australian accent, as we know.
So yeah, that's what we're going to do. And but there will be other stuff coming out around that time, so don't worry about it.
Yeah,
not that you were.
No.
And let's face it, by now, you're listening out of habit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's just sheer loyalty.
The joy's gone.
Yeah.
It's just a feel of, you know, obligation, really.
It's just iTunes downloading them without asking you, sticking it on your phone, and then you're thinking, well, fuck it, it's on here.
I might as well give it a listen. I've still got the toilet to clean.
Let's face it, we're near the end of the Collings and Herring era, we should call it. I was listening out of habit to those.
Yeah.
There was like an hour of them plugging stuff they were going to be doing. And then occasionally saying something amusing.
A brief lust of the newspaper, and that was it.
That's it, yeah. So we all do it. We all listen to stuff because it's our habit. But imagine now, you know, fewer of them, but hopefully with more stuff in it.
Yeah.
You never know.
That's it, yeah. There you go.
Funny people.
Yeah. So really, you wouldn't notice that much of a difference. You're just going to get a mini podcast instead of a big fat one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mini podcast.
Oh, I say. That gave me quite a jiggle.
Now, there it was, that the high-pitched shriek came before you spilt coffee onto your cup.
It was a bit Louis.
Could almost be a sort of feedback loop. The high-pitched squeak makes him spill coffee onto his cock, which makes him squeak, spill more coffee onto his cock.
No, that was my Kids from Fame impersonation.
I was going to say, it was very Louis Spence. I was expecting a big high kick with it.
Yeah,
blimey.
Not in those jeans, though.
Did anyone else get that when Lisa mentioned Louis Spence? I got an involuntary shudder.
Yeah, I did. I just feel slightly squeamish and queasy when he's mentioned. I don't know why. Something about him that makes me feel slightly ill.
Well, you're just a closet homophobe, aren't you?
Yeah, I fucking hate puffs, me. But you know what they say?
I don't, and I'm not sure you do either.
No, I was just amused myself. It's pathetic.
Go on, tell us.
You don't... You don't have to like the fireplace when you're poking the fire.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, Jesus.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So he's not quite how I'd heard it said, but you know, it does the job.
Yeah. On a completely, completely different tack, we saw a funny thing this morning as we were coming over.
Mm.
Yes, we stopped off at the park so Dilly could have a run round and a wee and all that.
Wee.
And as we pulled up, there was a bloke sort of rummaging in the brambles growing around the outside of the park.
Cool.
While he was doing it, he was sort of glancing furtively over his shoulders.
Yeah, he was looking very dodgy.
Yeah. Mm.
And he sort of, we got out of the car and he looked at us and walked off, walked past us and walked around the corner and went away. What is all this about? So obviously we went over and had a look at what he was rummaging. Yeah. He seemed to be fiddling with a plastic bag. And there were a few blue plastic bags, one of which was the one he was fiddling with. And what I assume he was actually going for was behind the one he'd moved slightly was shoved a bottle of wine with about an inch of old wine in the bottom. And I'm wondering if he was an impecunious alky that had spotted... They're sort of two mouthfuls of secondhand bramble booze and they decided to fish it out.
Sniffed it out. Yeah. Wandering around the area.
Yeah.
Oh,
sweet. Rustling around.
I thought you were going to say he was planting corn. But
First I thought he was having a wee.
That's why Andy was right over there.
Because he was so furtive and glancing over his shoulder.
Yeah.
I thought he was just pissing in the bushes.
You're allowed to be furtive when you're having a wee, aren't you?
Well, exactly. That's what I was thinking. You know, you don't want anyone seeing his winky.
I wouldn't be able to look over my shoulder. It'd break my concentration.
It has to be said. Given the temperature around that park when we were walking,
it was a bit chilly.
Yeah. He wouldn't have been that visible.
No.
Yeah. No. Well, it was cold enough. He'd barely have actually been able to get it beyond the boundaries of his trousers.
Before it froze.
Now, you see, what I was thinking when you were telling me this earlier, I got the wrong end of the stick. I thought you were suggesting that he perhaps just lived nearby, but wasn't allowed any booze in the house by his missus. So he was sneaking out to his
secret stash.
You know, like you would do with your porn in the bush. But
yeah, I hadn't thought of that. I thought he just found it and was there, yes.
I'm saying if he's, well, I'm going to check. Every week, when I'm going to the park, I'll just check to see if he's still there.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
If it gets up to Christmas, I'll get like a bottle of £1.09 Cassini from from the local town. You can have it as a nice little Christmas
ribbon round.
Little bow.
Yeah,
have that on me, mate.
That would not only delight him, but terrify him at the same time.
That someone has taken enough notice of his bush behaviour. Yeah.
Happy Christmas, bush Alky. Kiss, kiss.
Lots of love, Tom.
Somebody notice.
But I'll tell you something, he'd drink it.
Oh, yeah.
Down in one.
Let's be honest, you could open it, put a tab end in there and shut it up and probably drink it.
But it'd be like an Alky.
Down your nose.
It'd be like an Alky casino.
Yay!
Tequila worm, isn't it?
Yeah.
You cow, just as I was taking a sip.
Well, it's in the pub. You could probably find a real worm to put in it just to make it more exotic.
Yeah.
Oh, good God.
They should have had that story in Wrigley Park when it was on Wrigley Park. Didn't we hear it with Wrigley Park?
Wrigley Park.
It was on Radio 5 before it became 5 Live, and it was a kids' program.
Oh.
And it was called Wrigley Park. And it was all about little worm and insects. In the park.
Did they always have chewing gum?
No.
No.
It wasn't a tine.
How to stamp on a joke.
Wait, it wasn't much of a joke.
Boots of iron.
Yeah, Wrigley Park was good.
Yeah.
Also, when I was repairing computers and things, I used to drive around listening to it. And then they made it to fucking 5 Live when it was all shit.
Yay.
News and sport.
Sport on it, isn't it? Yeah.
Boring.
They've got sport all over your Wrigley Park.
Yes.
God.
But they moved Wrigley Park eventually to BBC 7.
All right.
It was on there for a while. And now it's dead.
When you say moved, you mean repeated?
No, they started... because they used to have their own children's bit on BBC 7 when it first started off. And they started commissioning new ones.
Blimey.
Yeah. Oh, that's really exciting for people at home.
Yeah, well, you know.
A little bit
of... for the course.
A little bit of geekishness about a programme. Never have that, really. Oh. Yeah.
About a programme that... Really, you were far too old to be listening to.
Yeah.
But enjoying far too much. Because my radio in the car back then was AM only. So
wow.
Good Lord.
Bloody hell, when was that?
It was the
last
other night.
Last year.
1937.
Yes, 1937. And a massive aerial on the roof. it looked like Alexandra Palace floating. Good old Ali Pally. Yeah, this week I've been watching lots of videos on YouTube.
Yeah.
From mad people.
Ah.
Actual mad people.
Actual mad people.
Wow.
People will believe that the world is about to end because a fictional planet is about to collide with us. People who believe that NASA are airbrushing this planet out of pictures before they put them on their website.
Oh. I'm just trying to figure out how mad these people are. I'm assuming they don't think the planet's fictional.
No, they think it's real.
Yeah, okay.
Sorry, yes. I think it's
fictional. Oh, that'd be a head fuck. I know. Actually going to get wiped out by a planet they thought was fictional.
Yeah. That'd be weird.
But a couple of them have their own like news channels.
Mm.
They're broadcasting news. So they're saying, and this is a verified story from another website written by another nutter. So there's this circle of nuttiness that goes around.
Wow.
One person writes something nutty, another person reads it, believes it to be real because it's from a website,
yeah.
Then quotes it as fact.
Well, there's no untruths on the internet, surely.
No. We get quite a lot of them which say, NASA reveal that a huge planet is going to smash into the Earth. Mm. And then you look on the video and it's nothing to do in NASA.
Mm.
Apparently, somebody once worked at NASA has said this, but then again, it's secondhand. It's like a mate of 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 a man who works at NASA says that the planet might be destroyed by another planet hitting it.
I saw Dara O'Brien's Science Club this week for the first time, and one of the things they were talking about was whether or not we were going to get hit by a planet or an asteroid or a meteorite or whatever, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And apparently there is one heading pretty much for us sometime soon, and they're now thinking that if it does come near enough that we would have to like send up missiles to try and blow it out of the way, then the chances are that what it's going to do is blow it into another orbit so it comes back round and smacks us on the arse in 2036, apparently.
And
then it becomes a political thing as to if you're going to hit it so that you deflect it so it hits the Earth at a more oblique angle rather than square on. And where do you send it? Do you send it to India? Do you send it over China? Do you go, fuck the New Zealanders, we'll make it hit New Zealand.
Could we actually do it with that kind of accuracy?
Apparently
anyway,
we could.
Really?
They were doing the experiment with snooker balls.
In that case, could we not just put it into an orbit that wouldn't then hit us again in 2036?
Well, I don't know. I think
if we can be that accurate about it.
I don't know. Maybe we should just do it over North Korea and fucking.
Or just knock it into orbit so we could have a new moon.
There
you go.
I'm not. I'm personally not planning on being alive in 2036 anyway. So I'm easy with any of them.
Well, these people.
That's not very ambitious, is it, Tom?
Yeah. I'd say it's very ambitious.
Okay.
These people believe Red Giant is coming into our solar system, and it has its own moons revolving around, orbiting around it. Ooh. So this entire system is going to come in, and it's going to suck us off. And it's going to float away. And they say it happens every 3,600 years. So I'm watching all these mad videos about how this is happening every 3,600 years. And I suddenly came across one from NASA with these poor bastards on it, who obviously realise they're going to have to start responding to these nutters.
So why?
There's one guy saying, first of all, they could tell what's happened 3,600 years by, you know, just observing what's been happening in the solar system. Nothing has happened. Telescopes are not picking up a scary big planet coming towards us, because apparently it's supposed to hit us on the 21st of December. And we'd be able to see it in the fucking sky by now. And what they're doing is they're filming the sun through two pairs of sunglasses from these people. And they're seeing two suns because there's one reflected. Anything. And they go, look, there it is. There is this planet that's coming to kill us.
Oh dear.
Like, if there was another sun-sized object in the sky, people wouldn't generally have noticed.
No.
And the great thing was, they were saying, well, President Obama is going to tell us about this, but it keeps being stopped by people. So it's all kind of going, all right, yeah, the other day he tried to announce it and then there was a banking crisis. The other day they tried to announce it and then there was a hurricane. The other day they tried to announce it.
Oh.
I like the idea that some shadowy group of people has managed to make there be a hurricane. Just to have something lined up to stop him telling us about the other planet.
These people believe that aliens are telling us this information. And they believe that we have a Starfleet out there travelling the universe that they're not telling us about.
Cool.
Yeah.
In starships that are being created by aliens for us.
Wow.
Which is a lovely thought. I'd like to think that was true. But I also know that it is not true.
Yes.
Wow. Mm.
See, on the one hand, these people are obviously mental.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But on the other hand, if you're going to believe something completely mental, this is a damn sight more entertaining than any of the god bollocks.
I kind of envy them. As I say, I envy them. Because they believe in magic. They're essentially believing it. And so you could just take some of their theories and make a reasonable sci-fi screenplay out of it.
Hmm.
It's quite nice. Hmm. If they spent as much time as they do with producing thousands of videos on the internet, they're pumping out so much shit. These people, I mean, in detail, their beliefs about what's going to happen, chronologies of what's going to happen for the end of the world. if they put that much effort into writing a few screenplays, they'd be fucking millionaires. They amaze me. But yes, I've been watching them for evening after evening after evening because they get more fascinating and I feel so much better about myself.
On the very subject of pumping out shit, may well have come to the end of another podcast.
Oh.
Definitely make sure you listen to the next podcast proper in a fortnight, because if these people are right, that could be the last one ever.
Yeah. 3 weeks.
3 weeks.
Yeah.
15th of December.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
15th of December.
So yeah. Make it nearer to Christmas.
Yeah. Got it on the 16th.
And after that, I'll be sucked off by a planet.
Way!
Yes. What a way to go.
Yeah, so you know, with that happy, happy thought in mind, for this fortnight from the Gentleman's Review, I think we'd better say...
Bye-bye! That was the Gentleman's Review podcast, presented by Martin Wolfenden, Andrew Wilson, Tom Stringfellow and Lisa Goddard. For more information about this podcast, go to www.thegentlemansreview.com.